The sun is well on its way on its annual migration northward now. At least that's the way it looks to us. We can tell because the days are lengthening. If you're like me, your time of arising each day corresponds with the first appearance of the sun, and you have finished the evening meal before the last light of the sun has disappeared. Most of us respond to that set of circumstances, even those who give short shrift to the things of nature. Suddenly, the usual depression caused by a wintry shift in the weather gives way to a wistful, hopeful countenance and the gentle statement, "Oh well, spring is just around the corner." That from the stay-at-home who turns to books soon after Christmas and doesn't climb down from the shelf until he can hear the robin's carol in the side yard. Even the converted outdoorsman, the skier, and the snowshoer is prone to philosophize when early March delivers thaw. "Oh well, we've had a good winter. It's time for spring." Anyway, regardless of how we feel about that early March delivers weather-wise, the sun will continue its northward alignment with the earth, and the days will grow longer. From this day on, winter is increasingly an endangered species hereabouts. If you wonder what occasioned these musings, I might explain that it was a combination of things. The first sap buckets are in place in the maple trees between here and Marcellus. A cardinal has been making spring music down behind my house for several days now, and this morning a trio of Canada geese made a noisy circuit of Rice Pond. I couldn't really tell whether their honks were complaints about the complete cover of ice and snow still on the pond, or a prediction that enough of it would soon be gone for them to settle in and forage about. At any rate, people are beginning to talk about spring. Just the other day, the morning host of one of the local radio stations was asking for some information about robins. That takes me back to my Lake Plains home, to a time when the conventional wisdom was that the robin was the one true harbinger of spring. I believed it, noting in my journal that the robin appeared between the 13th and 15th of March each year. Today, the robin has lost its position as a sure harbinger because of the tendency of some to stay with us throughout the year. This phenomenon appears to be more than just a casual occurrence. Winter sightings of robins in central New York are often of groups rather than single individuals. But even if the robin has lost its credentials as a prophet, there are many for whom the transition to thinking spring cannot be complete until at least one robin has delivered its cheerful roundelay from dooryard shade tree. I can respond to that. The robin may not be the most gifted member of its tribe, the thrushes, but he is the only one who has a good grace to serenade in early March when we can really say, "Thanks, I needed that." The robin actually has become a part of our folklore as a prognosticator and as a feathered neighbor. Three states, Connecticut, Wisconsin, and Michigan, have recognized that by declaring the robin their state bird. In addition, several southeastern states have produced versions of this statement. "When buzzards soar and robins sing, we know in our heart it must be spring." Well, the subject of this dissertation is really omens, not robins, so perhaps we ought to move along. In the early days of New York State, when every farm had a few cows, a few fruit trees, a field or two of corn and small grains, and a few acres of cash crops, the bird that vied with the robin for a place in our hearts was a bluebird, a demure but thoroughly beautiful cousin of the robin. It usually arrived a good week behind the robin, about the third week in March hereabouts. Many used to say about the two, "While the robin's arrival assures us that spring is just around the corner." But the bluebird's first warble announces that spring is here. The bluebird had a particular fondness for craggy fence posts and overaged apple trees. The attraction was suitable cracks, crannies, and holes in which to place the neatly woven nest of grasses where the pale blue eggs could be deposited. This was common knowledge to enough New York Staters so that when the time had come for this state to select a state bird, the bluebird won out over the robin. Now the bluebird has lost its place in the heart of the average New Yorker as an omen of spring, through no apparent fault of its own. This in itself, it seems to me, really ought to cement the bluebird's place in our consciousness as an omen, if not of spring, at least of the effects of environmental change. The bluebird apparently gave way to a combination of changing land use, the unwise use of pesticides, and the introduction of competitors such as the house sparrow and starling. While we're talking about omens, maybe we ought to pause to think about the bluebird and environmental degradation. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.